Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. Welcome back to Modding My Modities. Nice to see everyone. Nice to learn Monday night. I do want to acknowledge the sponsors for tonight's cheer. This cheer is sponsored by Stuart and Danielle Turk in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Stuart's father, Israel Turkenix. So thank you so much, Stuart and Danielle. And the Nishama should have an aliyah, please, to a high place near the Kisei HaKavod. So we've been discussing the Rambam's work, Shmona Prakim, or Eight Chapters, which is an introduction to Pirkei Avot. And the Rambam last week told us how much care we ought to have for our spiritual makeup, specifically our character traits, our tendencies. And the Rambam recommends specifically seeking advice, seeking guidance from a sage, a wise person, who can see through the maze and guide us in terms of the way to help us improve our character traits. And the other thing that we ended with last time and that we'll return to today is that the character traits the Rambam recommends is a very specific sort of calibration. That the Rambam says that with most character traits, there's two extremes and there's the middle. So to take an example, you have the character trait of, we'll call it generosity, the propensity to give of one's time, to give of one's funds, of one's money, and that there's a spectrum of how naturally generous people are or how naturally miserly they are. Now, I might have suggested that the appropriate character trait is to be abundantly generous, to give and to give and to give, that is the appropriate approach that we should take. The more generous we are, the better. And the negative approach would be to say to not give. And the less you give, the worse off you are. However, the Rambam specifically says that that is not so, that every character trait is two extremes, and being very overly generous to giving too much is a deficiency, and giving too little is also a deficiency. And what you're aiming for is the mean, the golden mean in between, which is being generous to a point which doesn't cause any self-inflicted harm. And the Rambam says this is so, although there may be a few exceptions, as we'll see, but this is generally so with all the character traits. I made a brief chart that I'll share with you just to sort of give you a demonstration, because it's a visual representation, I think, of the Rambam's saying. So there's usually a negative extreme and a positive extreme. So something like the degree, the spectrum to which a person enjoys physical pleasure. Now, an ascetic person might have said the less physical pleasure, the better. The less connected one is to physical pleasure, the better. However, the Rambam says that it is not so. There is a negative extreme of a total lack of enjoyment, total indifference to physical pleasure. There is a positive extreme of inordinate passion, constantly pursuing that pleasure. And virtue, what you're aiming for is restraint. Similarly, and we're not going to, you don't need to go through all of these, but I think this one's a very timely one, right? We're in the middle of a pandemic and it's been up and down. It's obviously a difficult time. It's discouraging. And every person has a degree of caution and a degree of risk tolerance that they're willing to engage in. So what is the virtue? So on the one hand, you could, and maybe this isn't the best word, it's just the word I took from the translation here, but one negative stream is, you could say, cowardice or reluctance, hesitancy, to be very, very, very abundantly cautious. And on the other hand, you might have what you would call recklessness, taking risks, throwing caution to the wind. Listen, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to worry. And in the middle, you have what the Rambam is calling courage. So that
And where one draws the line, the Rambam's not telling you any specific behavior you should adopt, but he's telling you a general guideline. There is a point in which a person can be too overly cautious. To never take any risk is an extreme. To be reckless in the person's risk-taking is also an extreme. What you're looking for is the virtue in the middle of courage, knowing that certain risks are worth taking, certain ones are not worth taking. The certain fear that we have, which is healthy, is a certain fear that we have, which is crippling. And so on and so forth with all of the character traits. The Rambam lists many, many character traits, and he thinks we should always shoot for the golden mean. Now, I was thinking about this, and to me, I thought of a helpful sort of mashal that was meaningful for me. I thought I would share. So I'm wondering, is anyone here a musician in the audience? Anyone here musically inclined, play any instruments? That's okay. So if you ever played a guitar or something like it, a string instrument, so you might know that the strings need to be tuned. That means that there is essentially an implement by which you can wind or unwind the strings so that they make the notes that they are designed to make. Now, everyone knows that if you want to sound at all pleasant or melodious, you need to make sure your instrument's in tune. If your instrument is not in tune, you could be the best musician in the world. It is going to sound cacophonous. It's every single strum. Maybe I can even get your guitar now and make it out of tune. It just sounds awful. Doesn't matter how skilled you are. It needs to be in tune. Now, there are two ways.
That's your opinion.
No.
There's a whole group of people who believe that atonal music is the way to go. So that's your opinion.
I don't know. Okay. Thank you. I don't know. Maybe. I would say that maybe there's a certain degree of it being out of tune, but I'm just gonna say for the most part, your instrument should be in tune. Now, what does out of tune mean? What does it mean for an instrument to be out of tune? So if you've ever tried to tune a guitar or something like it, there's a knob that you twist. And you move back and forth. And if you twist it so that the string is too tight, then the sound is going to be way too high, way above key. If you loosen it, it's going to be way too low. What you need to do is wind the knob such that the string is just the appropriate key. And every string needs to be that way. And if there's one string that is too, and again, it could be a little bit off, it could be a little bit too tight, it could be a little bit too loose, and you might play a chord and it will sound fine. But if you have any string of the six in a six-string guitar that's too tight or too loose, every chord's going to sound off, unless you can avoid the string. Every chord. And so I think in a similar vein, the Rambam is saying here, if you have any particular character trait, which is either too tight or too loose, meaning either you're too extreme in terms of a positive element, you're too generous or too, quote unquote, willing to take risks, too attached to physicality, or too easily unnerved or easily upset, that's an extreme, and it's going to throw off everything. On the other hand, if let's say you live in a certain country, and when someone steps on your foot, you say, "I'm sorry." Well, that's okay. But if people push you around and you don't stand up for yourself and you're always very patient, right? So then that's also an extreme. So you need to make sure that the instrument is in tune, meaning that your character traits are in tune. And that takes a lot of work. And I think, to me, in today's day and age, and this is all just review, but in today's day and age, I think this is very enlightening. I find that in sort of public discourse, media, everything is extremes. Everyone's pushing everything to an extreme, right or left. I just find that there's such a tendency for every viewpoint and for every character trait also to be to an extreme. And the Rambam is calling for moderation, for subtlety, for being in tune. And that there's always a balance to everything. There is a balance. So that is what we saw last time. And today we'll continue with how exactly one goes about achieving the balance. And I think you'll see it really is like tuning an instrument. You really have to fiddle with it. It requires a lot of thoughtfulness. So I'm going to share my screen and let's continue reading from the Rambam here. Hopefully, let me just give me 1 second. And we should be able to find the screen I was looking for. Please, God. Oh, man. You know what? I'm telling you, screen share has been very, very inconsistent for me recently. Give me just 1 second. I apologize. Oh, here we go. Is this what I want? Sorry about that. I see. Okay. Let me go back to here. Share my screen. 1 second, please. And here. Oh, no. Oh, it's one of those days, isn't it? Here we go. 1 second. Let me try one more time.
How patient should we be about this?
Sorry?
I said, how patient should we be about
this? How patient should you be? That was patience enough. That was the perfect amount of patience, Charlie. That was just great. So now the Rambam is going to address something that we just said. And I think this is a mistake that some people do often make. He says, it often happens, however, that men or people err as regards these qualities. Again, I'm going to read from the English so that everyone can follow along. If someone else wants to read, that would be great also. But the Hebrew is the original language. So if the person wants to follow along in Hebrew, that'd be great too. So that one of the extremes is good and is a virtue. Some people think the extreme is what you're aiming for. Sometimes the extreme, the too much, is considered noble, as when temerity is made a virtue, right? Mesirela sakanot, being very, very willing to take risks. That's a virtue. If you're not scared of anything, you'll take any risk. Well, that means you're brave, you're courageous. And those who recklessly risk their lives are hailed as heroes. And I think in our public, in our current predicament, this is something we can relate to. There is a certain aspect of the population, I would say, recklessly praising those who are saying, you know, I don't need to be, you know, ever mask, or I don't need to get a vaccination. And I'm not afraid of coronavirus, and I'm just going to go out there and do what I want to do. Now, again, within a certain window, we can all be risk tolerant or risk averse to a degree. But if that's being praised as a virtue, as just all out, you know, recklessness, take all the risks in the world, I think the Rambam will look at that and say, no, that's all. Thus, when people see a man reckless to the highest degree who runs deliberately into danger, intentionally tempting death and escaping only by mere chance, they laud such a person to the skies and say that he's a hero. I don't know. To me, maybe someone that's like skydiving constantly or taking all these crazy risks. There are shows like that. Wow, a hero. Look what they're willing to do. At other times, the opposite extreme, the too little, is greatly esteemed. And the coward is considered a man of forbearance. Wow, look how careful they are. You know, they never go anywhere. They're so careful. The idler is being a person of contented disposition, right? He's calling a word idler is a little bit off. Atzel. Atzel usually means lethargic. So a person sits in their house all day. Wow, they're so deliberate. So deliberate in what they do. They don't act until they really, really think about it. And he who by the dullness of his nature is callous to every joy, is praised as a man of moderation, meaning yereche, someone who eschews sin, right? So a person who doesn't ever seem to be excited by anything, who's always just sort of humdrum, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Something great happens in their life, and you know, they don't express any sort of joy. And one could argue that maybe being very, very in control of your emotions, that means self-control will stop you from sinning. He continues, in this manner, profuse liberality and extreme lavishness are erroneously extolled as excellent characteristics. This, however, is an absolutely mistaken view. Totally wrong. Zeh kulo ta'ut. It's an absolute mistake. For the really, truly praiseworthy yeshubach ba'emet is the medium course of action to which everyone should strive to adhere, always weighing his conduct carefully so that he may attain the proper meat. Rambam is saying, here at least, in Shmona Prakim, you always want to go for the mean, never the extremes. However, I do want to point one thing out. And let me ask you, I'm wondering, do you think, is there any character trait you would argue that maybe this is off? Is there any character trait that you would say, you know what, for this, in this category, I think you should be on one of the extremes, not in the middle? Maybe a character trait that's so corrosive that to go for the medium is not the appropriate ratio. You should look to be closer to one extreme. Any thoughts?
What do you think?
Passion.
Was that passion?
Compassion.
Oh, compassion. That we should be very compassionate. Okay. Good. What we got here? I see something in the chat. Let me take a look. Chesed, kindness. Okay, kindness. That's similar to compassion. Now, there's a lot. The Rambam, I don't know the Rambam saying that. The truth is, though, I will say that it's interesting. We have the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, right? The 13 attributes of mercy through which we describe God and try to emulate, which the Rambam will get to. Now, there's one that's called Chesed, right? The attribute of kindness. But there's a word that comes before Chesed. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, Charles, and call your mom. Rav Chesed. Rav Chesed. What does Rav mean, Charlie?
It means a lot of Chesed.
A lot. Abundant kindness. And by definition, there are those who have argued, Chesed is by definition, the word means something that is sort of extreme, that is abundant. That's what kindness is. Kindness, by definition, means doing something that on a simple level may seem extreme, but it's kindness. So I totally hear that. Anything else? Any other attributes? Maybe a negative one that you would think that you should specifically stay away from?
Hatred.
Hatred. Okay. Good. Good. Hey, what about, is hatred, that's interesting. So hatred would be, I guess, the opposite of love. Okay. I hear that. Hating people. He doesn't actually count love and hatred here as attributes. I guess that's more of a feeling than a specific approach. You're looking for the attribute through which you generally like or dislike people. Maybe that's close to generosity in the Rambam's view. So I will mention, it's interesting. In the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka, which is another work to the Rambam, it's his encyclopedic work on all of Jewish living. His first book is called Sefer Hamada, the Book of Knowledge. And one of the sections of that book is called Deot. Deot means character traits. And there the Rambam is a very similar discussion that we're reading about now. And in that, in the second chapter, he gives two qualities that a person should deviate to an extreme degree from. Arrogance and anger. Arrogance and anger. The Rambam says that arrogance and anger are so toxic that a person should look to be very much in the other category, to be very much in the category of humility and very much in the category of having control of one's temper and to not be angry. That doesn't mean you should never be angry. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have any self-esteem. But the Rambam says arrogance is so bad. That is why in Pirkei Avot, there's a Mishnah which says, Me'od, me'od, havi shfal ruach. Be very, very lowly of spirit. Because arrogance, sort of a person puffs their ego up to a degree that it can corrupt everything that they do. So that's worth noting. Maybe we'll get a chance to look at that. But those are, there may be a few exceptions to this. Now, here's the question that the Rambam now addresses. How does one... So let's say I'm not like this. Let's say, I don't know, I'm of the type of person who is very into food. You know, I'm just coming off supper here. I like myself a good, a nice, good meal. And you know what? There is a culture like this. You know, there are certain people who frequently, you know, are always looking for the next good food, the next delicacy. They're always going out and they're always looking to really, really fresh and indulge themselves. There's a whole food industry, right? And I think the Rambam would probably look at that negatively. So say a person says, you know what, I want to change. What should they do? What advice does the Rambam have for us? How does a person modify their behavior to get back into the middle, to tune their instrument, so to speak? So the Rambam writes as follows. Know, moreover, that these moral excellences or defects cannot be acquired or implanted in the soul except by means of the frequent repetition of acts resulting from these qualities. Meaning all of these qualities, whether it's temperance or patience, there are certain actions that they should express themselves in. And in order to acquire them, you need to do those actions again and again and again, which practice during a long period of time accustoms us to them. If these acts performed are good ones, then we shall have gained a virtue. But if they are bad, we shall have acquired a vice. Since, however, no man is born with an innate virtue or vice, as we shall explain in chapter 8, and as everyone's conduct from childhood up is undoubtedly influenced by the manner of living of his relatives and countrymen, his conduct may be in accord with the rules of moderation, but then again, it is possible that his acts may incline towards either extreme, as we have demonstrated, in which case his soul becomes diseased. So the Rambam is saying here, you may be born with certain character traits in moderation at the appropriate ratio, and you may not. And there's nature and nurture, and those both influence you. It seems like he's playing down nurture here. He says he's going to get to it in chapter 8. Right. Someone here makes the point, even chesed, when we were told not to give away our money, right? There has to be a balance. But the Rambam is saying the way to do this is to repeatedly perform certain actions. Now, there are two really big points to make here. One thing I think is very interesting. Let me ask you the following question. This is also a Rambam. Say a person has $100 of tzedakah to give, $100 of tzedakah, right? Now, you had two options. You could give the next deserving person in need a $100 bill, right? Straight up. And that $100 bill really might make a difference. Maybe that'll buy them a few meals. You could do something with $100. Alternatively, you could give 100 different people $1. You could give 100 different people. You could give one person one day, one person another day, one person another day. 100 straight days of giving each person $1. What would you say is preferable?
It's preferable to take the $100 and open a school to teach people to look after themselves.
Okay, thanks, Paul. That is the highest form of tzedakah. But let's say for the sake of this experiment, you're going to give away the $100. So which method is the greatest, is the more, what would you say?
Why is approach? Rabbi, this is Simcha.
It's good to see you, Simcha. How you doing?
Thank you.
The Simcha is another quality, right? You get the appropriate talent. I would say beer on the side of Simcha. Anyway, yeah.
What was his motivation for the $100?
Let's say this person, all these people are sincere. And I'm going to, again, there's lots of laws of tzedakah and who gets priority. And is it your family, your community, who needs it more? I'm going to say they're all equal. They all have the same exact amount of need. You are the same, have the same relationship with each of them. None of them are in your family. They're all part of your community. Let's just even the playing field here, right? For the sake of, you're asking a good question. It's true. It should matter. Like, you know,
yeah, if
they're all equal.
If a person gives $100, it's because he feels that he received something or he wants to do chesed because he did something wrong. Like, what the reason behind, I believe.
Let's say, you know what, I think I want to, Hashem gave me enough money. I believe in the value of giving back. maybe something good happened in my life and I want to give somebody, I want to give away $100 to Tsukka, right?
The difference is
yes, Ralph.
That if you give $1, the person has to go out and beg to get the other $99 he needs. But in order to accomplish something, give a person $100 and he has something to work on to
right. Okay. It's more impactful.
Develop some personal responsibility.
Fair. Anything else? Any other answers? That's a good answer. You're focusing on the impact it will make on the person you're giving it to, the recipient. Any other approaches based on this Rambam, maybe? Well, let's think about this for a second. The Rambam is telling us that in order to acquire the appropriate virtue, you need to perform repeated actions which should express themselves from that virtue. So I would say generosity, again, you know, and I want to make this clear. I don't think the Rambam's saying you should be ambivalent about being generous. No, he's saying you should be generous. But he's saying there is an extent, as someone commented in the chat, there is an extreme. If you're giving too much too frequently when you can't afford it, that's a problem. If it's going to damage you personally, it's a problem. You need to have restraint. So, but let's say maybe I'm a little bit stingy or miserly. And now I want to acquire the character trait of generosity. Which is going to be more impactful? What do you think it's easier to do? To give one person $100 or to give 100 people $1?
It's easy.
Well, if you give 100 people $1, you're going to get 100 thank yous. If you give $100 to one person, you only get one thank you. So it'll teach you a lesson by getting 100 thank yous.
$100 thank yous, okay.
$100 is investing in a person. $1 does nothing.
Okay, so Ralph, you're focusing on the recipient. I think the Rambam himself actually says that giving one, and maybe $1 is too little. Let's say you had $10,000 to give. Again, the amounts, it's not a perfect experiment because the amounts really do make an impact. But what the Rambam argues is, you know, if you have to get yourself to give some of your own money to another person 100 times every day, you take your hard-earned money and you give it to someone else just altruistically, then that is much more likely to put you on the right track toward to actually acquiring the trait of generosity, right? Because you're doing repeated acts of kindness. And I just think for myself, right? You know, we all live here in Toronto or elsewhere, our Jewish communities. We get knocks in the door, right? We get knocks in the door. And sometimes people come to the door and maybe they have their certificate. And I'm never in the mood to give those people for different reasons, you know, because you have your organizations you give to, look into them, and then there's people knocking the door. And so my personal tendency is, look, just give them something and make them go away, right? Because it's a bit bothersome. But to then imagine doing that again and again and again and again, such that it's almost you're excited to give somebody who's in need. So as I think the Rambam would be arguing here based on this, to really acquire a character trait, not just to do a mitzvah of tzedakah. And again, Ralph, you're focusing on the recipient, but part of giving tzedakah, the Rambam's telling you, is not about the recipient, it's about you. It's about you acquiring the character trait of being a ba'al tzedakah, of being generous. And for you to do that, you got to do that again and again and again. And so too, and here I'm going to make another point, because I think this is a really important part of the Rambam's perspective. We learned together a few times, and he said it here too, that the ultimate virtue is intellectual perfection, right? Knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth. That's what the Rambam thinks. And he said maybe not everyone agrees with that, but that's the Rambam's opinion. Now we have all sorts of mitzvot in the Torah. Mitzvot, actions that we need to do. We take a lulav and, you know, tzedakah and chesed and prayer, and I don't know, lots of them, lots and lots and lots. We put a fence up above our roof, we put a mezuzah on our doorstep, we wrap things on our arms, all sorts of things that we do, right? What's the purpose of those? Why are there so many of them? Why are there so many different actions that we need to do. If we're meant to be intellectual, wouldn't it be better to sort of lock ourselves up in some sort of academy and just think and study and learn? I think the answer is that the Rambam is saying mitzvot are there because in order to acquire the appropriate character, you need to act, and you need to act again and again and again and again and again. And I think this is true in terms of interpersonal relationships and our relationship with God, that I think there are certain, sometimes there's a certain tendency to say, you know what, I'm not really into such and such. I'm not such a big prayer. Prayer isn't so meaningful to me, or it's learning Torah. I don't get much out of it, whatever that is. And sometimes there are reasons for that, but often it's you have to do it again and again and again and again and again before it really becomes part of you. So the Rambam is telling a person here, you may at this point be acting. Maybe you're by naturally not generous, or maybe you're naturally a person with a short temper. But in order to not be that way, you need to go through that same act of being forgiving, of not being particular, of not taking a slight and when someone sort of insults you. And if you do that again and again and again and again, ultimately you will acquire the character trait which you seek. But it comes to repeated activity, right?
Rabbi, okay.
Yeah.
Like if you I'm wondering based on what you're saying, or should I say the Rambam is saying, one cannot be an intellectual unless one also acts.
Right.
Because
100%.
Because to fully understand what one is attempting to learn, you have to participate in life itself.
Right. Right. Yeah, I 100% agree. In fact, for the Rambam, the word chacham means someone. And I think he'll say here, the word chacham, which we generally associate purely with intellectual knowledge or wisdom, means someone who has appropriately calibrated character traits. And that speaks to a worldly experience that you're saying here. So now the Rambam really gives us sort of a general direction in terms of perfecting one's character traits. And I think it's quite interesting. It says as follows. In such a contingency, meaning if it is true, as the Rambam said just a bit ago, that a person is born with a certain tendency, or they're born with that tendency, or with the Rambam would say they develop that tendency based on their environment, their family, their community, right? And they think that they need to improve, they need to change it. It is proper for him to resort to a cure. You're sick and you need a cure, exactly as he would were his body suffering from an illness. So just as when the equilibrium of the physical health is disturbed, and this is going to be interesting, and we know which way it is tending. I just want to make sure that, let's give me 1 second. I'm just going to mute everyone just so that we don't have any interference with the audio over here. Sorry about that. So just as when the equilibrium of one's physical health is disturbed, and we know which way it is tending, in order to force it to go in exactly the opposite direction until it shall return to its proper condition. And just as when the proper adjustment is reached, we cease this operation and recourse to that which will maintain the proper balance. In exactly the same way, must we adjust the moral equilibrium. So I don't know what example for medicine would be. I'm sure there are some doctors on this call right now, but maybe there's a point, I'm just guessing, I'm not a physician. Dad, if you want to pipe in here, you're welcome to. But say a person has very high blood pressure, let's say. So they may need to take a certain diet, which will help them, and a certain course of action, maybe exercising, which will help them lower their blood pressure. Even though if they had a healthy blood pressure, such direction, such activity would not necessarily be advisable. Because we need to get you back to equilibrium, the right blood pressure, right? So the Rambam is saying the same thing with character traits. Let us take, for example, the case of a man in whose soul there has developed disposition of great avarice, right? Which he's calling kilut. Here, the cultural rov ha kilut. Here, what he's saying is, avarice in terms of being miserly, on account of which he deprived himself of every comfort in life. Of really being very, very unwilling to spend any money or to spend any money on anything, even himself. And which, by the way, is one of the most detestable of defects, an immoral act. And the Rambam is saying, lest you think that it's okay to say, you know what, I don't need anything. I'm not going to buy myself a good pair of clothes or some good hot meal because I don't need that. Rambam says that's detestable. It's a detestable deficiency. If we wish to cure this sick man, we must not command him merely to practice deeds of generosity, for that would be as ineffective as a physician trying to cure a patient consumed by a burning fever by administering mild medicines, which treatment would be ineffective. We must, however, induce him to squander so often and to repeat his acts of profusion so continuously until that propensity which was the cause of his avarice has totally disappeared. So a person is very, very thrifty and unwilling to spend money on themselves or on others. It's not enough to tell them to be generous. It's not enough to tell them to put a dollar in the pushka. What they need to do is spend. And I don't think it means waste money, but to give a lot, to spend a lot of money. And if they do that enough times, then hopefully they'll get back to the proper balance between being thrifty and being generous, spending a lot and spending a little. Then, when he reaches that point where he is about to become a squanderer, we must teach him to moderate his profusion. So then you're going to have to go back. Once you're already spending a lot and a lot, then you have to sort of, you know, tone it down at that point. So it's almost like, again, like the guitar, you know, when you're trying to get the right tune, you turn it, it's, and there's these gadgets that you use. There's this phone, there's apps, and the sort of, there's a monitor that goes back and forth and back and forth. When it's too tight, it's going to say too high. So you turn it the other way, and then it says too low, and then you turn it the other way. The Rambam's saying here, and obviously it's much harder when it comes to our actual character traits, it's a real balance you're trying to reach here. And tell him to continue to use generosity and to watch out with due care, lest he relapse either into lavishness or stinginess. Right? So that's on the one hand. Now I'm just going to note here, there's a certain, you know, translation here, which is a totally fine word. But as you can see, based on the spelling, it's spelled like a word which is quite offensive. So I'm just going to use the word stinginess instead. If, on the other hand, a man is a squanderer, they spend a lot of money, he must be directed to practice strict economy, to be very, very stingy, to not spend money. It is not necessary, however, for him to perform acts of avarice as many times as the me man should those of profusion. So here's something that's interesting, where the Rambam takes into account human psychology. Is it easier for someone who is used to not spending any money to learn to spend money? Or is it easier for someone who's used to buying and buying and taking and getting to learn to have moderation? Which is easier? What do you think? The Rambam's going to argue that restraint is much more difficult. Not all extremes are the same. Not all character traits are the same. It's not exactly like a guitar that you can just tune it back and forth. There are some things that are easier to learn. And the Rambam is going to argue that if someone is naturally stingy and you're trying to teach them to not have restraints, that's different than someone who naturally spends a lot to teach them to have restraint, right? It is not necessary, however, for him to perform acts of avarice, of not spending, as many times as the me mentioned those of profusion. This subtle point, which is a canon and secret of the science of medicine, interesting, tells us it is easier for a man of profuse habits to moderate them than to generosity than it is for the miser to become generous. It's easier to teach someone who naturally spends a lot, right, and say, you know what, don't spend that much, but be generous instead, than it is, or who spends, and I think this not spending on themselves, right, but spending on everybody, than it is for someone who doesn't want to spend any money to be generous. Likewise, it is easier for one who is apathetic to be excited to moderate enjoyment than it is for one burning with passion to curb his desires. If someone has an addiction, say, to some, let's say you have an alcoholic or somebody who has a food addiction and it's not healthy for them and they're eating and they're gluttonous and it's endangering their health and they're so attached to it. That's a hard thing to curb. To teach a person like that to then have moderation is going to be very difficult. They're going to really have to work at it, really try to take, you know, extreme measures to moderate their diet. Whereas if someone naturally, he's arguing, is too much on the extreme of not partaking of this world, it's less difficult to teach them to eat. Now, there are people with eating disorders, and there are people who really have trouble doing that. So maybe it's not always the case. But the Rambam is, I think the point that the Rambam is making is not every character trait is the same. So there's no catch-all sort of method here, yet there's a lot of precision. Consequently, the licentious man must be made to practice restraint more than the apathetic man should be induced to indulge his passions. And similarly, the coward requires exposure to danger more, that's quite an interesting way of putting it, more frequently, and the reckless man should be forced to cowardice. Because if you're reckless, that's harder to, or if you're too hesitant, it's harder, the Rambam claims, to fix than someone who is brave or reckless to teach to not be so reckless. The mean man needs to practice lavishness to a greater degree than should be required the lavish to practice meanness, right? And that doesn't mean meanness in the terms of being mean. It means meanness of not wanting to give to anybody. This is a fundamental principle of the science of curing moral ills and is worthy of remembrance. And I want to read one more passage and then we'll stop. And the Rambam says something very interesting here. Right? So the Rambam is saying that although ideally we strive for the mean, it's complicated. We're born with certain and we acquire certain character traits that are hard or easier to fix, which require a lot of calibration and tuning and back and forth to make sure we get into moderation. And so therefore, he's going to argue that sometimes some people are not necessarily aiming for the mean so that they can have the appropriate calibration. He says, on this account, the Hasidim, the saintly ones, were not accustomed to cause or dispositions to maintain an exact balance between the two extremes. The Hasidim do not go for the golden mean, but deviated somewhat by way of caution and restraint now to the side, sometimes to the side of exaggeration and sometimes to deficiency. Thus, for instance, abstinence would incline some to some degree towards excessive denial of all pleasures. So if I want to be in control of my appetites and desires, I may veer more toward abstinence or more toward denial of all pleasures, even though I'm not in the mean. I might be a little bit on that side of the scale to make sure I don't get carried away with my temptations, right? Umitov halevav mitzlad yitzron tov halevav ma'at. Minahanava letzada shiflet aruah, right? Regarding valor would approach somewhat toward temerity, generosity to lavishness, modesty to extreme humility. If you want to be generous, you may veer toward extreme giving so that you're at least more likely, because it's easier to not be generous than it is to give. It's easier to be humble, it's better to veer on the side of humility than it is to veer on the side of arrogance. So they're going to go not for the medium, but for a little bit beyond. This is what the rabbis hint at, and they're saying, this is an interesting point here, to go lifnim mishurat hadin, beyond the letter of the law, to go beyond the mean. We usually think of beyond the letter of the law as performing some sort of act that's not incumbent upon us, but is a nice thing to do. The Rambam is phrasing it here in terms of going toward one extreme on the scale, a spectrum of character traits, rather than aiming for the middle. When at times some of the pious ones deviate to one extreme by fasting, keeping nightly vigils, refraining from eating meat or drinking wine, renouncing sexual intercourse, clothing themselves in woolen and hairy garments, dwelling in the mountains and wandering around the wilderness, they did so partly as a means of restoring the health of their souls, as we explained above, and partly of the morality of townspeople. He says, sometimes Hasidim do these extreme, extreme things. They run away from people. They'll stay up all night and they won't sleep, or they'll fast, which the Rambam is saying is extreme. Why did they do that? What's the purpose of fasting? We're supposed to eat. Why should someone take on a voluntary fast? What would you say? It's not because of abstinence. It's not because of asceticism. The Rambam says you may decide to fast if you feel that you've reached a point at which you need to adjust your tendency to eat. You may decide to isolate from people, you know, not just like now, right? We're isolating from people because of a certain tendency that we have to be more careful. So the Rambam is saying that sometimes you might isolate yourself from people because you find that your company with them is leading to a certain character trait that you don't desire, and therefore you're going to abstain, even though that is extreme. When the pious saw that they themselves might become contaminated by association with evil men or by constantly seeing their actions, fearing that their own morals might become corrupt on account of contact with them, they fled to the wilderness far from society, as the prophet Jeremiah said. Oh, that someone, right, he says here, I'll read the Hebrew. Oh, that someone would grant me in the wilderness the dwelling of a wanderer, and I would quit my people and abandon them. For they are all adulterers, a troop of faithless evildoers. This is what we read, by the way, in one of the Haftarot, when we talk near Tisha B'Av. He says, only I can run away from society. Why does he want to run away from society? That seems very extreme. Shouldn't we want to be around people? That doesn't seem like the golden mean. Well, that might be, says the Rambam, in a very interesting take, because maybe Yirmiyahu was saying, I can't be among these people. They are influencing me negatively. So for the time being, I need to distance myself from them, even though that's extreme. But here's what he says. He says, people sometimes look at these extreme actions and they think this is the way to act. And they're wrong. They're wrong. These pious people are doing so for a specific circumstance. But to take these extreme measures consistently, to be absent from society, to run away, to fast, to stay up all night, to abstain from any sort of eating and drinking, that is not a consistent behavior choice that we should adopt. It's wrong. And therefore, he says, when the ignorant observe saintly men acting thus, not knowing their motives, they consider their deeds of themselves virtuous. And so blindly imitating their acts, thinking thereby to become like them, chastise their bodies with all kinds of afflictions. Imagine they had acquired perfection and moral worth, and that by this means man would approach nearer to God, as if he hated the human body and desired its destruction. Right? He's looking at here about abstinence and saying some people abstain from physical pleasure because they think, look at that person, they're doing it, they're a holy person, I'm going to do it too. But we can't act like that. That person's holy, I'm going to do it too. That person prays like this for this amount. Or that person gets up in the middle of the night to cry for the Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to do it too. You have to know yourself. And people, it's not just about what you do, but about your where you are in terms of your character traits. It never dawned upon them, however, that these actions were bad and resulted in moral imperfection of the soul. They think they're very holy, they're the opposite. Such men can only be compared to one who is ignorant of the art of healing. When he sees skillful physicians administering to those at the point of death, he calls here purgatives. And I'm not sure what those are. Maybe it's some sort of laxative or something like that. Scaveny, aloe, and the like. And deprive them of food, in consequence of which they are completely cured and escape death. Foolishly concludes that since these things cause sickness, they must be all the more efficacious in preserving the health or prolonging life. If a person should take these things consistently and treat himself as a sick person, then he would really become ill. Likewise, those who are spiritually well but have recourse to remedies will undoubtedly become morally ill. Don't take an extreme if you're not ready for it. That's what he's going to say. And the Rambam then continues and says, the Torah here is guiding us toward the moral life, not towards any sort of extreme. We're not meant to be on any side of extreme. So I think I'm going to stop here because we covered a lot already. We'll pick up more next week. But I think what you see here on the whole is a certain very clear requirement of thoughtfulness, a very thoughtful, calculated behavior and approach to perfecting one's character traits. How the only way to accomplish this is through being very, very aware of a person's tendencies and the types of actions that they're doing and not doing, and knowing where and being honest with oneself. And it's a constant battle. It's a constant tuning exercise. And there's sometimes you need to go to one extreme to another extreme. Maybe some people may choose to veer to an extreme, but for no person can we mindlessly copy. You can't act like a robot. You can't say he or she's doing that, I'm going to do it also. Because everybody is different. Everybody has a unique sort of personality, which requires a unique treatment in order to achieve the appropriate balance. So what I think we can all take from this Rambam, if nothing else, is just the need to be mindful, to simply be mindful of our tendencies, to be mindful of our habits and our virtues, and to at least have in the back of our mind the initiative to think, what can I do? What sort of actions can I do to make myself a better, more complete, well-balanced person? So thank you very much for joining us, everybody. I wish, let's all try to strengthen each other to continue doing that. Happy to save for a few questions.